folks this morning.
Every woman and child is an image bearer of God. But around the world, 6 million are held in sexual slavery, trapped in the horrors of exploitation. Together, we can shine God's light into their darkness, breaking their chains of bondage so they can live free as fully empowered daughters and sons of God. Through Project Rescue, you join with more than 900 local partners. operating safe homes and other life-changing initiatives in over 15 countries. Since 1997, we've helped more than 830,000 exploited people find physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. Full restoration is possible. By partnering with Project Rescue, you can join hands with a survivor of sexual exploitation as they journey toward a new, hope-filled future.
I really love Project Rescue's logo, don't you? It's a butterfly, like, talks about transformation, but at the same time, it's got barbed wire right in the middle. It's like, we are going to protect these people. And that's exactly what groups like Project Rescue does. Project Rescue is a wonderful, wonderful organization that actually is a part of women's ministry in the Assemblies of God. Women, you know, we talk about all the different ministries and how they support missions, like kids support BGMC, and a youth does Speed the Light, and men does Light for the Lost. Well, women have their own thing that they do, and one of the things that they do is Project Rescue. There's, believe it or not, women like to do multiple things at the same time. So there are multiple different ministries, missions, ministries that the women are doing, while the rest of us are just doing one at a time, because that's how we operate and think, right? So I don't know that that's true, but that. So we're going to be highlighting some of those ministries over the next couple weeks with our missions focus on our prayer time. But today we are going to be praying over our core value of passion for missions. Passion for missions is that we embrace our mandate to reach the lost of the world. And we do it within our local community and all the way out to the ends of the earth. It's the passion that touches every part of our church life and is expressed in all of our age groups. We're going to be praying over Life 360 Church in Hollister, Missouri. These are newbies. Newbies. Hey, we got a new plant. I know. So Joshua and Kenley Higgs out there, I have met Joshua. I have not met Kenley yet in person. Then we are praying for Project Rescue, and then we're going to be praying also for our brothers and sisters down at First Pentecostal Church down here. So if you'll stand with me, we are going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have not only made a way for us, but Lord Jesus, you have given us direction and vision for the future. Lord, I thank you that we can have missions be a main focus of our church, a core value. Lord, reaching people is what we should be all about, no matter if it's here or around the world. Lord, I pray for Life 360 Church and Hollister and Pastor Joshua and Kenley out there as they're getting things kicked off. Lord, I pray for Project Rescue and all the work that they're doing all around the world to find and save those exploited individuals around the world. I also pray for our brothers and sisters down the street, First Pentecostal Church. Lord, I thank you that they are in our community, that they care for you and love you. And I pray that they will continue to worship you in spirit and in truth and reach the needy for the lost. Sorry, reach the lost for you, God. In your name, amen. All right, y'all can have a seat. In a minute. All right, so Shepherd's Creek. We had a bit of a fun time last week at the end of church, getting a bunch of kids signed up for Shepherd's Creek, and everyone is good to go. And everyone who's going is a volunteer. Your background checks came back, and you are clear. Hey, good news, everyone. Everyone who works with our children so far has their background checks cleared. Yay! I know. Registrations are still available. It is a higher cost. So if you have any other students that want to go, let me know. If you have any students that your kids know that aren't saved, I want to take them for free. Sound good? So, kiddos, talk to your friends. I know it's summertime. Volunteers are 15 and up. It's 15 and up. So, and it's going to be really interesting for us because I think I'm going to end up being a dorm leader for our boys. that's a very first time for me doing that since I lived in North Dakota. Leah is actually probably, unless, well, folks, what we need is we need more girls to go with us. So then Leah can also be a dorm leader. But Leah gets to stay in the hotel. And then these two are going and possibly staying in the dorms as an assistant dorm leader. Maybe, we'll see. And then this one gets to stay in the volunteer teen dorms. That'll be fun. You remember that's? You remember those? You anyone else have like youth group times when you went out and you met a bunch of brand new youth group kids you didn't know and you just had a blast with them, and then you forgot about them because there was this. I don't know about you, but back in our day there was no Facebook, and I didn't really have an email address, and I wasn't about to call them because that cost too much. Except on nights and weekends, right? And letters. Letters, yeah, but who wants to do that? You already had to write at school all day. No. I had a notebook I would carry around in my pocket all the time before I started carrying around a cell phone all the time. Now I don't have a notebook all the time. All right. Disciple makers. All right. Little bit of a difference on this slide. Our app group code that's up there is not for the Church Center app, but rather for the Bible Engagement Project app. So if you go to the App Store, and you download Bible Engagement Project, and you want to join a group, it's the AT7M57. That is our group code, and you can join our group. And that follows along every single week with the devotions that we're doing during Disciple Makers. So we have Disciple Makers tonight at 6 o'clock in the Bear's Den. So please come. It'll be awesome. We'll also be streaming online, and you can also follow that on the Church Center app. However, and put this on your calendars, we will not be meeting for Disciple Makers on July 6th, August 3rd, or August 10th. So, why not July 6th? There's stuff happening. We've got schedule conflicts. All right, Acts 2 Journey. This also meets in the Bear's Den at 6 o'clock, and we only have two left, and I want you guys to make note of the event dates up there. By the way, there's July 6th, if you were wondering. So we are not meeting on... Sorry. Acts 2 Journey will be meeting on July 6th and August 10th. And you're like, well, that's not the first Sunday. Yeah, I changed the slide, y'all. So if you try to come on the first Sunday of August, I won't be here at all. The door will be locked unless you know how to get to the key. And I guess you could hang out, but there's nothing going on. So July 6th and then July 10th. Sorry, July 6th and then August 10th. Thank you. Woo. Distribution day. Did we have a record number of people, would you say? More than Christmas? More than Thanksgiving? Wow. The shoes, yeah, we had shoes. Do we have any more of those Coach flip-flops left? We do. Oh, Coach, yes, Coach. Yeah, name brand, here we go. So, yeah, we have Coach flip-flops back there. They're plasticky ones. So they're really expensive plastic flip-flops. But, hey, they're right back there. There's also some boots back there for girls' boots. Tons of Bomba socks. So if y'all need socks, grab some socks. But here's the deal. We got on Wednesday, I had to get a U-Haul trailer and load a U-Haul trailer 3/4 full with boxes and bring it back here. We had 6 pallets of stuff from Convoy of Hope. 6 pallets. We've never had 6 pallets, ever. So we had a lot. Abby will tell you, she helped me unload it all. After she did conditioning for volleyball. It was great because it was a great workout extension. That's when you say thank you, Dad, for the extra workout. But anyway, we have another one coming up on July 17th, and I'm going to keep in touch with our distribution center and see when pallets show up and things like that, because I want to try to make it a more of a regular type run situation and not wait for them to deliver it, because sometimes they are not able to for one reason or another. So July 17th, 11 to 1, right here. There are no requirements, if anyone's asking. And we'd love to have anyone come either to get what you need. And honestly, guys, if you're here at church or you're here during the week, if you need something, just come get it. No joke. If you need to get in here and get it, just call me. Never, ever feel like you're interrupting me. If you're interrupting me, I won't answer. And then you leave a message, and then I'll call you back when I'm not interrupted. Does that make sense? So don't say my no for me, okay? You can call me anytime. All right. Next. This is something my wife has wanted me to put up here since last week. This is super, super important. So focus up. This is very important. You ready? Fireworks stand fundraiser. And you're like, what? No, we are not going to have a fireworks stand on church property. I know. Instead, we are going to be joining with the fireworks stand that's north of the interstate over there by Freedom. And Hannah's the gas station over there. A family that we know runs that stand. And they are offering 10% of sales while we are there volunteering to give back to our church. And we are going to commit those funds for community days. Specifically, we want to work on buying new games. We want to buy some things for the outside so that we can have some outside things for people to do for the carnival. We always need prizes. We always need different stuff like that. And generally, that comes out of the general budget. But it'd be great if we could get a little extra to help out with the expenses of community days, which is our biggest outreach of the year. If you're interested, you can come talk to me, and I might direct you back to Miss Leah, because she knows more than I do. But, come talk to me if you want to know more details. It is on Monday, June 30th. Write that down on your calendars. Monday, June 30th, 5 to 8 o'clock. What do? You stand outside, you hold a sign, you hold people's fireworks for them if they need help holding fireworks. You help them to the car with their fireworks if they need that. It's simple, simple stuff. So I want to encourage you guys to come and help us partner with them. And it's also a great time to buy your fireworks, because then you know that 10% of all the fireworks you buy is coming to your church.
Wow.
Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge. Yeah, tell your friends and family to come and spend their money at that time. Sure. Yes. Yeah, other side of the interstate, ish. All right, next, Church Center app, and this is super, super important. I've made an adjustment up here. We now have volunteer signups available on Church Center app. If you are interested in volunteering for the church, and you log into there, and you go over to groups, in the groups, you will notice that there is a serve team or serve group. That serve group is one that you would want to join, and then I would contact you and work with you on figuring out, you know, where you want to serve. If you, like, we have specific areas like the worship team or helping with the coffee bar or helping with distribution or even community days or other things like that. If you're interested in serving in any way with the church, I'd love to get you in on this group, because then we can communicate with each other a lot easier and faster, and it literally pops up on your phone if you have this app on your phone. It's beautiful. And in addition to all of that, it gives me a signal, hey, I'm interested in serving in ministry, but I don't know where I can serve. Then I can help with that. That's one of the things I love to do, is help people discover their calling and figure out where they can serve. Or if you want to serve in a way that the church is currently not operating in, let's talk about it and figure out if that's something that we can do now. Sound good? Cool. It's honestly going to be the best way for everyone to connect up with me and to connect up with what's going on in the church. So when you register for the group, you're not automatically in the group. until I've accepted you into the group. And that'll happen after we have the conversation of what you want to do, so on and so forth. And then I can get you plugged into the system in the right places, and you can sign up for weeks and all that fun stuff. So any questions on that? Even more important, get your Church Center app. Yay. Super important. What? Is it important? Is it? To what? Yeah. Kiddos, adios. Be nice. We love you guys. Have fun. Enjoy all the new chocolate bars and candy that Leah has for you today. Hey, just remember, whenever we give your kids candy, it is a positive for you, because by the time they get home, sugar crash. There you go. I've joined the Stanley Army. It's my Father's Day present. Alrighty. Oh, man. You know, I do like the fact that it's still cold. All right. So, it's hot. I wanted to give you guys a bit of an update. This is my update slide. This is when I like to give you guys updates about the church and what's happening and so on and so forth. So yesterday I came to the church to get ready for today. May shock you, but Saturday's a work day for me. And so I showed up here, and the air conditioner in the fellowship hall, the air conditioning unit that runs the fellowship hall, the offices and the bathroom, basically everything but this room, was inoperative. And basically what I found out is that the condenser unit outside was not operating. So what do we do about this? I ended up calling the folks that we always have come out and service our machines, and they said, well, we're closed on Sunday, so we can't be there Sunday, and all of our techs for today are already booked out. And I said, well, it'll be a fun Sunday, everyone in the sanctuary, I guess. But she said, well, let me try something and see what I can find out. Anyway, I am so thankful for them, because they found a technician who was on his day off, who volunteered to come in here. Well, he's getting paid for it, but voluntarily to give up his day off to come in here and fix our air conditioner. I know. So on that note, we are in preparation. We're preparing right now to save our money as a church. We have a fund that we have set up specifically to change out our air conditioning units. I've had to have them come out 3 times this year to fix our units. Now, that's still cheaper than buying new units, but it really isn't great when they're not dependable. So I want to encourage you. We're about to go into tithes and offerings today, so that's why I'm leading up to this, I guess. But if you're interested in giving directly to that fund, just put in there that it is for air conditioners or AC unit or whatever it is. So that way we know to put that money into that spot. Does that make sense? Now, that's not your tithe, but that would be an offering. All right. We're going to do tithes and offerings, and Elizabeth is going to come around in just a minute to do tithes and offerings collection. But if you're interested in giving online, there is a QR code, which you should be able to actually scan now. Or you could go to life360.org/giving, and you can click on Conway and give there. Let's pray for our offering today. Lord God, we thank you that you give us an opportunity to give, that we can offer our worship through our giving today. We thank you, God, for the faithfulness that you've given us. We thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you, Jesus, for taking care of us. And Lord, I pray that each of us would take you up on your promise that when we give, you will supply. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. That's our bumper video. That you know what? You know why? You know what? I figured out why churches do bumper videos. I finally figured it out. I always thought, like, why are they doing that? It's for two reasons. The people collecting the offering want to be there for the message. So that gives them a chance to collect the offering and turn it in and then come back and sit down. Isn't that cool? I learned what a bumper video is for. I've never known that before. So from now on, whenever you see a bumper video and it's the same video you saw last week, just go, why is he doing that? Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I do stuff for my kids. So today we're going to be talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Say that word. Bless. I knew I was going to do that. I have trouble doing this thing. Abby, could you set up my board, which should have been done during the bumper video? No. I only get one mind. Anyway, so the breastplate, and I'm going to have to say that word so many times today, the breastplate of righteousness. Okay. So this whole series is called Tailor-Made because God has created this armor not as a general fitting idea. Like, if you look in your shirts right now, I'm sure it says small, medium, or large, or extra large, or double X large, or whatever. No? Or it might have a number. So ladies might have a number. I'm sorry. It's all different depending on what it is. Uh-huh. Okay. A youth large. Got it. That's good. Yeah, I'm going to... I'm actually going to depend on you to be very precise today. Yes, you will be. That's your warning. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're talking about the armor, how it's made to personally fit you. It's tailor-made for you. But we're talking about the different pieces and parts of the armor. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18. That's our series verse. Last week we talked about the belt of truth. It was really cool because I actually had an object lesson. I was wearing a belt, and I could talk about what a belt is and show you what a belt is. But I don't have a breastplate around. I have a shirt, but that doesn't count. A breastplate is very different from a shirt. Yeah. Okay. But here's another thing. I want to talk about the belt of truth real quick, and I want to follow up on last week. The belt does not change. This is the only piece of our tailor-made suit that doesn't change based upon you. The truth doesn't change just because you change. You following me? Let me explain. When I go out to buy a belt, I have to buy a belt bigger than me. I don't want you guys to miss that. The truth that God will give you in your life sometimes will be bigger than you. More than you can handle. But here's the deal. I don't have a little extra on the end if it's not bigger than me. Here's the other thing. A lot of times in Roman culture, they would make one belt, all the same length, because Roman soldiers had to maintain certain physical attributes in order to remain, not to mention they were pretty physically fit guys for the most part. Here's the thing, they would always make the belts kind of to the same length, or just about the same length. And it didn't matter who you were, you wore the same belt length. You just take whatever was left and you dangle it down your leg. Got it? So the truth doesn't change. The truth is exactly the same for everybody. It just depends on how much we can handle at a time. Unlike today, I mean, we all had that moment back in the 90s, I think it was, when we all had to have really long belts and dangle them down. Does anyone remember that trend? And they were always the braided belts. Some of us never left the 90s. Anyway, Yes, you were not alive. So, you get that? Are you catching my drift here on the whole belt thing and the truth and how that all works? You catching it? The truth is the truth is the truth, just like a belt is a belt is a belt. Okay? It doesn't change just because of you. Now, we're going to be talking about something that does fit you. The breastplate. But before we get into that, let's read our verses. Okay? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Be strong in who? Okay, just want to make sure y'all caught that. It doesn't say yourself. "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." All right, so today we're going to be here at the breastplate of righteousness. We've got our Roman soldier up there showing off his our model, I guess. So here we go. So I presented the Roman soldier. You see that gold thing around his waist? That's his belt. Okay, we talked about the belt. And where is the belt? Around his pants. No. Why? Because they didn't use pants. It's true. There was no, and on top of that, there was no belt loops, because belt loops weren't invented until much later, like in the last century. So, let's move on, and I'll stop wasting time. The breastplate is that gray silver thing around, and I did say around his chest and shoulders. It also goes around to his back. Okay, this thing is called a lorca segmentata. Say that. Say that with me. Lorca segmentata. Okay. Which literally means corslet, which is a man's corset, of segmented armor, like what we see in the picture. Okay? The other version, because there was two different versions of armor for Roman soldiers, the other version was called lorca hemata. Say that again. Lorca hemata. Lorca hemata means a corslet, yep, man's corset, of hooked metal. So what is that? Chainmail, exactly. So, and does someone explain to me what chainmail is? Go ahead, Miss Janet. Interlocked chain, like interlocked rings. And they use these rings, they weave them, and then they end up making this blouse, essentially, or the breastplate of chainmail. Your husband makes chainmail? Man, he should have come here in his chainmail today. Does he have a helmet? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It is a long process. I knew a guy who did chainmail back in the day. And oh my goodness, this guy, he showed us his progress like over a week. And it's like, you only got that far? Yeah. So anyway. So that's the other version. They have the plate segmented armor, which is what we see here, or they would have the chainmail. No matter what version of the armor the soldier had, it would be fastened around their chest. So it would basically tie up in the back, okay? It wouldn't tie up in the front. It would tie up in the back. So you always had someone else putting it on and tying it up for you, because I don't know about y'all. Maybe you women are good at it because you do the whole, like, zipper thing back there. But I'm just saying, like, tying up armor would be kind of difficult in my mind. I'm just thinking that's tough. Whatever. For a guy, though, I mean, you have to think. Anyway. Between each, so the Lorca segmentata, or the segmented armors, which we see here, and between each of those plates of armor are little strips of leather, and the leather holds the plates in place and allows movement for the soldier to be able to move around. So instead of like medieval armor you saw with like a full like solid piece that doesn't move, this would actually allow for movement. Now, that means that there's a lot of chinks in the armor. Like, you could get stuff in through the armor if you go up through it. But, yeah. Even more flexible than the plate armor was actually the Lorca Hemata, which is the chainmail. And it allowed for the most movement. Because those little things, they just, if you ever hold it, chainmail, it just, like, melts on your hand. It's so weird. But the stuff is really strong. It can be. So the purpose of the armor, what is the purpose of your body armor or the breastplate? What is that? Protection of what? The vital organs, right? So you're protecting the front of your bodily organs, your sides and your back, protecting all those important pieces and parts that keep you alive, right? It didn't go past the belt, because then we start running into issues. But we'll get into that a little bit more later. All right. So here's the other part. In addition to the breastplate, a soldier wore something called a subarmalis. Subarmalis. These are Latin Greek words I am trying to get here. Subarmalis. Do you know what a subarmalis is? Huh? Sub, which means under, armalis, armor. It's Under Armour.
What?
Yeah, we're calling out a brand name, I guess. But here's the subarmalis was a padded garment worn under the armor. While the armor itself could take a hit from an arrow or a sword, it would really, really hurt whoever's underneath if you didn't have some sort of padding under there. So, think of like football players. They have all of these pads, right? So that they can hit each other. Imagine what it would feel like if you took all the padding out of your helmet and hit someone. Or take your bike helmet, for example. You know those pads that they put in there? They're wonderful. And cushion you from the impact. You know, the hardness of the helmet protects you from cracking your skull open, but the pads of the helmet keep you from getting a concussion. And so what would happen is they had these pads on there so that when the swords would come in and hit, it's just like, hey, I don't feel it. You ever like bubble wrap a child and like push them around? Maybe that's just me. I had 5 children. No, I'm just kidding. No. I do call my eldest the scratch and dent child because of all of this. We test out the bubble wrap on you. Can you imagine how hot this uniform would be, though? I mean, like today, I know it's a beautifully cool day today. How hot is it outside right now? Let's find. It is 85. Can you imagine being in a padded undercoat with reflective armor on top outside in 90-degree weather? We haven't even gotten to the helmet yet, or the sword, or the shield, or The shoes. I mean, yeah, this is crazy sauce, right? I can just imagine how it would have been like, especially in a desert like Israel. And they had to wear this stuff. So, God's armor includes the breastplate of righteousness. So let's see what Scripture has to say about this. Isaiah 59, 1 to 15. We're going to start 1 to 15. We're actually going to do the whole chapter of 59. Sound good? All right. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your inquiries have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. The cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and the acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along with them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind grope along the wall. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight among the strong. We are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but find none. For deliverance, but it's far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. So we see from the beginning of this passage in Isaiah 59 that the world was very full of sinners. I just condensed all that down, didn't I? Sorry. Everyone and everything is evil. And God's not happy. He's displeased. It goes on. Verse 16. He saw then that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Everyone was evil. God is the only one that had righteousness and was able to sustain it. Okay? Goes on. But he put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent their sins, declares the Lord. God not only lashes out with his righteousness, we know also from a couple other passages, Titus and Philippians, that his righteousness is available to us. Did you know that? By faith. So we see God using the armor, and the breastplate of righteousness is a part of the armor. We see God attacking the enemies. But here's the thing, is it's not just God's, it's not just available to God. God makes the righteousness available to us. Titus 3, 3 through 6 says this, at one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy or his righteousness. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So where does righteousness come from? From the Lord. How does he give it to us? He pours it out by his Spirit through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. So anyone who's saved can have a portion of righteousness in their lives. What is righteousness? It's basically, it's alignment with God, right? So let's go on. Let's go to Philippians 3, 8 through 9. It says this, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. That righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness means a couple things. First of all, believing in Jesus and his righteousness. But let's test righteousness real quick, okay? Can we do an object lesson together? We're going to do an object lesson together. So here's what I need. I've got some markers here, and I've got a board. And what I would like to have is, let's get three people. Abby, who's our resident artist, and I need two more. I need adults. There you go. You get to pick your color first. Okay. There you go. Don't draw anything yet. And one more adult. Grandmother. Yes. Okay. All right. Give that to your grandmother when she gets here. I'm gonna segment out this board real quick for us. Okay. We're gonna go half, quarter. And then a quarter. Okay. So this is what I need you to do. From the top of the board down to the bottom, draw a straight line. Here, you can use this one. Oh, okay. All right, sweet. So we have some lines here. I'll take that. You can give me your markers now. That was it. That was your job. Okay. So righteousness comes from where? From God. And how do we know what righteousness is? Be in alignment with God. How do we know that we're in alignment with God? By his word. And by the Holy Spirit. Perfection. All right, so let's test. Let's start right here with the green line. It's not perfect. Sorry. I can't get there. Here we go. You ready? Oh, nope. Right there at the top. Man, that is not so perfect, is it? You want to try, Elizabeth? Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you the green marker because this is the best one, and you get to use this. Okay. So Elizabeth gets to use the ruler. Sorry, there's a chip out of the ruler. It's an imperfect ruler, I guess. Okay, keep going. No, it's all right. I really thought about doing this with a plum, but a ruler is cheaper. Right? All right. So, objectively, whose line is the straightest?
Mine.
Why? Look. Let's just assume. Actually, that's pretty good.
I slid.
Still the best one. The artist is hurt. Sorry, artist. So here's the deal. Whose line is the straightest? Which line is the most right? She won't say her sister. Whose line is the straightest? The ruler. Why? Huh? Because she had a guide? Why else? She let the ruler be her guide. She let the ruler, and yes, I'm making a pun. She let the ruler be her, Elizabeth, sit. She let the ruler be her guide. That's how righteousness works. And it starts like this. We have to believe in Jesus and his righteousness first. Here's the thing. Going back to our example here. If this is the rule, and this is the measurement of righteousness, we have to believe that this thing is straight. Right? Otherwise, it's not going to make a straight line if this thing's not straight. We have to believe that what we're basing our impression of righteousness is straight, is correct, is true. Did you know that? So we have to believe in Jesus and his righteousness. We have to believe everything that Jesus says is true. If you don't believe that, you're in trouble. If you don't believe that his example is right, you don't have nowhere to go with righteousness. Righteousness, you can't get it. Because where does righteousness come from? The Lord. But if you don't believe the Lord, you're kind of at a loss. Galatians 2:20-21 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You don't even base it on the law. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all those great things that are in there. You can't even base it on the law, because here's the thing. You can't be good enough. You sit down with a group of people and you ask them, you know, do you think you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah. Especially cultural Christians, they're great at that. You're going, why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, I'm such a good person. Okay. Well, let's test you against Scripture. Jesus says not to even think badly about people or it's committing murder. Have you done it? Oh, well, yeah. All right. You're guilty. I just gave you, three folks, the directive. Draw me a straight line under your own power, under your own ability. And it doesn't even matter how skilled you are, because you're very skilled. You still can't do it under your own power. Here's the thing. If I told her to make a line this long, she could have done it. But all the way down, that one's hard. I think some of us, we could live righteously for a day maybe. Maybe for an hour or two. We could follow God's law for a couple minutes. But then we get crooked. Right? We get crooked. It is only because of Christ and what he has done and believing and have faith in him that we even have the guide. The second part of this whole thing is standing firm against injustice and corruption. Ooh. Now, this is a touchy topic, especially nowadays, because whenever we see the words injustice and corruption, it brings up a lot of anger and frustration, and we look at what's going on in Portland again, and we look at what's going on in the United States all over the place again, and we're just, you know. But here's what it says. Leviticus 19:15 says, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Oh, wait a minute. That's different than what is being touted as what's right. That means you got to care for the 1% as the same amount as the not 1%. The same. The difference is you need to judge them fairly. There's a concept in the world today that we should treat everyone fairly. I disagree. I don't think you do. Here's an example. If you wanted to take my son to Silver Dollar City, I would give you my son and take him to Silver Dollar City. Why? I know you a little bit better. You know my wife. He knows your son. It'd be fine. Now, if I had someone come into the church who was addicted to drugs or had been convicted of pedophilia or anything of the sort, and he asked to take my kid to Silver Dollar City, I am not going to let you do that. Guess what you just did? You were judging them. Yes! Yes, I am. But guys, we allow this to happen to ourselves all the time. I gave you this really extreme example. But we cut ourselves short. Hebrews 1:9 says this, "You have loved righteousness, hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." What does God want to give you? He wants to give you the oil of joy. And where does the oil of joy come from? God. And where does God, how does God present it to you? Righteousness. Okay, we track in here? So, I read something. Do me a favor, Elizabeth. On the back table back there, there is a devotional book. Can you hand it to me real quick? Actually, no. See the one that's on the table there, the small devotional book for the John Bevere book? The blue one? Yeah, so there's one of those, but there's one of those in my office. Go grab it for me real quick. I want to read you something from my devotion yesterday, and it really, really struck me, and I wanted to share it with you. It didn't go into my message. I really thought about adding it, and I was like, no, but I have time today. We're doing okay. So I wanted to share this with you. By the way, this book is very, very awesome. It goes along with the book Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. I highly encourage you go ahead and buy it. If you buy it from here, you just basically are reimbursing the church. We're not making anything off of it. But let me read to you what it says here. This is from Ezekiel 18:24. It says this, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live. All the righteousness which has been done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die." I want you to catch something. One of the great things about salvation is that God forgets our sins. He doesn't hold it against us. And I caught this yesterday when I was doing this devotion, and I went, oh, wow. Because here's the concept that caught me. Ezekiel tells us that when we fall out of righteousness, God forgets our forgiveness. God forgets our righteousness. Ooh, you know, I'm a big supporter, and I love grace. And grace is an awesome, amazing thing. And grace exists, but I want you to understand that there is three parts to God. Okay, we believe in a triune God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. And on the judgment day, grace comes through faith in Jesus. Despite the fact that God sees everything you've done. And then when you commit your life to Christ and ask for forgiveness, he forgets it. God the Father forgets it. But the moment you fall out of righteousness, he forgets your righteousness. And that's why I'm so happy and thankful that we have a triune God. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no grace. That's what Jesus introduced into life and afterlife and all of that stuff. He made a way for us to be saved, because the reality is all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every single one of us, I guarantee you, and you don't know when it's going to happen, folks. You just don't. You don't know when either the Lord is going to come back or if you're even going to leave this room. And some of you are sitting here wallowing in your disobedience, in your pride, and you're thinking, I'm good. Maybe you are. Maybe Christ will step in and say, yeah, this one's covered. But how much is God, is Jesus having to cover for you? At some point in time, your disobedient becomes disrespect, becomes disowning. You could be mad at God all you want, but the moment you tell him, I don't like you anymore, it's fine. You don't have to like him. I don't believe in what your son has done. Everything you've told me is a lie. If you get to that point, guys, you've lost it. You don't want to be on that side of the judgment throne. God is calling us to live in righteousness. Why? Because he likes to see his kids being good. Don't you like seeing your kids being good? Yes. And then he can pour out his joy on you. It's an amazing thing when you get home from a date with your wife and all the chores have been done and the house is clean. At least I think it will be someday. I would love to pour out the joy on that one. But most of the time, we just push God. We see what we can get away with. A lot of the times, we just try to do the minimum. You ever been given a chore and you did the minimum? And then the person who gave you the chore can tell that you gave the minimum? I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's really obvious. That's good enough is going to end up with people in hell, I'm just telling you. Have I made my point on this one? I feel like I'm beating a dead horse now. Okay. Third part is knowing that God promises his protection against the forces of evil for those who have faith in Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." So, of all of these points here, I want to ask you, what stands out to you? What do you observe? Yeah. Right. Abigail, come here a second. So there's one point I didn't elaborate on. Have you noticed? The third point, never elaborated on it. And I did not prepare you, did I? So here's what you're going to do. I'm going to have you come right over here. You're going to look at point number 3, which says, knowing that God promises his protection against the forces of evil for those who have faith in Jesus. And we read 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." Okay. What does that mean?
That the Lord will always be there to protect you from evil.
What's evil?
Those that are against the Lord.
Give me an example.
Satan?
Is Satan always the one that we have in our lives that is interfering?
Uses things in order to get other people to interfere.
Other people?
The world.
The world?
Yeah.
What about your mind?
gets the world affects our mind.
The world affects our mind how?
By influencing us.
By influencing us how?
Through other people.
Okay, what does that mean?
Other people that are influenced originally by Satan tend to make content or show certain things in a good light or otherwise and influence people that already are Christians.
Okay. And those are for people that engage in this content, right? Because, I mean, it's not accessible if you don't pull it up, right?
People are still going to shove it into you no matter.
Yeah, some people do. But this is. But what does Scripture say will happen when that happens?
That God will protect you from it.
How?
By telling you that it's wrong in the Bible and reading the Bible.
Yes. And that causes you to have to do what? Live in what way?
Righteousness.
Bingo. Good job. See? Anyone can be a pastor, y'all. I'm just saying. Was that hard? Not really. I want you guys to catch this. This is not hard. Yeah, I mean, evil is all around us. But righteousness can protect us. Righteousness protects us, not can protect, does protect. But you have a choice. When the enemy attacks you, are you wearing righteousness? Will you be protected? Or have you just opened yourself up for the enemy to capture your heart? I don't want y'all to miss this. The breastplate of righteousness not only protects your vital organs, it protects the seat of your emotions. Believing in Jesus and in his righteousness, standing firm against injustice and corruption. And I'm not just talking about corruption and injustice of other people, but of injustice and corruption that you're committing and injustice and corruption that you're receiving. Finally, knowing that God promises his protection against the forces of evil for those that have faith in Jesus. But some of us, we have good days. And we have bad days. Some of us wake up in the morning and we forget to put on the armor. And we fail. And we fall. Romans 3:22 says this, the righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Before this, it says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I love these two passages in Romans because it not only presents the power of the gospel and the good news, it goes further and declares that the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed to us. It's available for everyone, from the first of us to the last of us. If only we have faith, we will achieve righteousness. We will discuss faith deeper when we get on to the shield of faith, by the way, in a couple weeks. But in short, let me give you a scripture of definition of faith, okay? I'm going to give you kind of a preview of that week. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Roman soldiers trust their armor. They trusted their armor, that it's going to protect them despite the fact that the armor may never have been tested before. When I was in the army, I had I had body armor. Okay, they called it body armor because it covered more than just your chest. Not because I expected it to be used on me. Not because my personal body armor had been put through the ringer, but I know that it had been tested. The materials, the building, the construction of it was tested before they gave it to me. I could watch videos online on YouTube, even back then, of bullets being shot at the Kevlar plates and absorbing them. And yes, they had padding on the inside of those vests, thank you, Lord. It still hurt like crazy to get shot, I'm sure. Never been shot, and I'm very thankful for that. I never had to put my body armor to the test. But I know people that had, and it saved their life. We can trust body armor to protect us from bullets. But do you trust the righteousness of God? Do you have faith in God? Are you willing to put it on to protect yourself from the evil of the world? There's a rule of thumb we always had when it came to body armor. Because they told you didn't always have to wear all the pieces and parts of it. They had additional pieces that would go here and here. And every piece that you added kept you from being able to move around. They had one like right here, because that needed to be protected. They had parts that would come up around your neck to protect your neck. But guess what? Most of us wouldn't even wear that stuff. Why? Because we wanted to do what we wanted to do. We wanted the freedom of movement. We were willing to accept the minimum of protection. And those who accepted the minimum of protection, most of them, when they got hit, this part was fine. But these parts would be gone. Or their shoulders. Or their sides. Can the righteousness of God restrict you from doing what you want with your life? I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. But it'll restrict you from evil. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't wear it, if you don't put it on completely, you might as well not even wear it. It's not being effective. Does that make sense? This is where we are. We talked about the belt of truth. We're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Next week, we're doing the shoes of the gospel of peace. I call it shoes because that's how we think now, or boots. Back then, if you look at the Bible, it says feet of the gospel of peace. But and while a lot of soldiers did go barefoot into battle, the Romans had these wonderful things called sandals that protected their feet from things that could harm their feet. Anyway, we'll get more into that next week. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and one more. It is a mystery to come. So next week we're going to be talking about the gospel of peace. I want you guys to know something. You can trust in the Lord. You can trust in His righteousness to be complete. He's there for you. It's the armor, the chest plate of the breastplate of righteousness is available to you to protect your heart. and keep you safe. But we have to put it on. Which means that means we have to make the conscious decision to put it on and live in righteousness. You can't just like put your arm in it and dangle it on your side and hope to be protected. You can't just have like, you can't wear it in public and not wear it in private. And honestly, I think most of us are probably more susceptible to our temptations and sin when we're in private. Yeah, that ain't a thing. Here's the thing, though, church, and this is on you now because you know this truth because I'm about to tell it to you. God knows what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. He sees you all the time. Does he see righteousness and forget the sin? Or does he see sin and forget the righteousness? And I'm going to tell you what. Most of us now that, and here's the deal, I have told you this, it's a truth that is in your brains, and hopefully it gets into your hearts, but I want you to understand, from now on, you know the following. When you decide to not put on that armor, you are making the conscious decision not to do it. You are literally saying to God, I don't care. I don't care. That's literally what happens when you give into your temptations in the private spaces. God, I care more about how I present myself to others than I do to you. Bad place to be. Bad place to be. It's that simple. So, you guys going to put on your armor this week? The rest of the day? All right, let's stand. Lord God, we thank you that we could come together in this place and we can worship you and hear the word, God. I pray that you would be with us this week and have us focus on coming into righteousness. Lord, bring us closer to you this week. Lord, help us to make the decision to follow you. Help us not to fall into our temptations this week. God, I pray that each of us would consciously every day make the effort to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And maybe it restricts us from doing some of the things that we want to do or what we see our other people doing. But when that restriction comes, God, we know that it is against you. I pray, Lord God, that we would be found in activity that is compatible with the kingdom at all times. And Lord, I pray for everyone this week. As they go from this place back to their families, back to their homes, back to their jobs, back to summer vacation, I pray that they would make it a time that they can dedicate to you. They can come to know you more in this season. Lord, I pray for our world right now and all the craziness that's happening. The stuff that's happening around our nation. I pray for our leadership. Lord, let your will be done. Let us be a people that say, let your will be done, God. You're going to do amazing things in our world this week. And I pray that we can be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys, and go find a pool somewhere.